Amen. This morning, I want to talk about really how we can become a member of God's house and how you can become a part of this family. I know there's probably people here. We've got several first-time guests, and guess what? Because of what Jesus has done, you can be a part of God's family. I know there's also individuals here, maybe you've been around for quite a while, but you don't even feel like, man, this is my home church, but I don't feel like this is home to me. And so what I want to exhort us on tonight is, this morning rather, is how we can really come to be a part of God's family. Everybody say family. Yeah, look at just follow along as I read this here. This is Romans chapter 8 out of the New Living Translation. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Maybe your translations say, are the sons of God, or, are the offspring of God. But this is what it says. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. Since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in His glory, we must also share in His suffering. Now, Lord, I'm asking you this morning for a great anointing to be released across this house. I'm asking God, the same way you spoke this word to me, that you would speak it to your sons and daughters all across this room, those who are joining us online from all around the world. God, I pray that your Spirit would begin to release the reality of what it is to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, do not allow us to live below the potential, below the call, below the identity of what you have called us to live in. Lord, I pray that we would have a reality of what it means to be adopted into your family, to be sons and daughters of yours, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, lead us into a great and near relationship with you. Oh Lord, we love you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I've entitled this message, I was going to call it Spirit-Led Sons, but then I thought that might exclude all of the ladies in the place. And then I thought, we're in Hawaii, so we might as well just call it Keiki. And so we're going to talk this morning about how we can all be Spirit-led Keiki, okay? Yeah, and everybody knows what Keiki is, yeah? I'm probably the only one who had to be educated on that when I came here some time ago. But these are kids or children. One of the, actually a couple things that we prayed about during our 21 days of prayer and fasting is we wanted to pray into, guys, how we can be a Spirit-led people. You remember this? We want to be a Spirit-led. Everybody say Spirit-led. We want to be a Spirit-led people. And we've talked a little bit about how to do that. I'm going to talk a bit more about how to do that. The other thing is we've talked about being a blessed people. And really what that means to me is, guys, I believe that people should look at your lives and they should see the evidence of God operating in your life. Like, a Christian should look different than an atheist, right? In the workplace, in school, our marriages. I mean, we ought to be. This isn't like an arrogance thing, but I just feel like if we've got God Almighty working on our behalf, if we have Father God who is moving in our lives and operating in our lives, how many know our lives should look different than those who do not have Jesus as their Lord and Savior? We agree with this. I mean, this is why I just don't to look different. I want our marriages to look different. I want our kids to look different in a good way, right? I mean, when you got the kids who are just like manifesting demons when you're checking out a Walmart, I'm hoping that's not our kids, right? I'm hoping that's not your kids, because I just do. I believe that as we are spirit-led, as we're led by the Spirit of God into sonship, I just think that our lives ought to look a little bit different. I mean, you don't hear the world talking about how my wife came to me when she was sick, I laid hands on her, and she recovered. Only Christians get to have the privilege of that kind of thing, but I want it for everybody who comes within the realm of this ministry. Do you believe that for your life? You want to be blessed, church? Amen. Amen. Well, one of these things, being spirit-led and being blessed, I really feel like feed one into another. If we walk by the Spirit, He'll lead us into blessings. In fact, if you look at Paul, the way he began this letter in Romans, the last two chapters. Guys, let me just tell you, I'm going to help some of you out here. If you are struggling with habitual sin, if you're struggling and you just cannot seem to find a way to overcome whatever it is that's tripping you up, I would challenge you. Take Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8, and just pray on those three chapters. That's exactly what I did when I was coming into Bible college. I came in, guys, into Bible school. In fact, I loved one of the worship songs. The second worship song that we sang this morning was written at Christ for the Nations during the time that I was there. And I was having flashbacks to these times where I was learning how to worship. Guys, I was rough when I came into Bible college. When I my first week of school, I was still going through drug withdrawals. I mean, I was far from God. I was still struggling. But what I did is the Lord brought me to Romans chapter 6, and I began to pray through those three chapters every single day. And these are chapters really about the war between the spirit and between the flesh. And how we can crucify the flesh. We can live by the Spirit of God. And I love, by the time you get to Romans chapter 8 and chapter 1, it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. See, we can be in a place where even the devil cannot harass us any longer, because we're living in a place of liberty by the Spirit of God. I want to get there. I want to be there. And so, you know, when I talk about being led by the Spirit, let me just share. Look at this verse right here in Romans 4. We just read this, 8:14. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Some of your translations, this always confused me. If you're ever confused by the Bible and you want to understand what it says, try and read a couple different translations. Because other translations, the New King James is my daily read. And what it says is, we've not received a spirit of bondage. And I never really understood that until I read this. He's not made you. You've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. You're not a fearful slave. What that is saying is that when you get born again, when you come into Christ, what's not going to happen is that he puts a ring in your nose, and now He's leading you around by the snout, and He's going to tell you everything you need to do and everywhere. How many know that we have choice? We have responsibility. Some may say free will. We have a responsibility that rests on ourselves. God's not going to do it all for us. If we're struggling in life, if we're moving the wrong direction, if we're making choices that Jesus never would, we can't blame it all on God. And, well, God made me do it. No, He didn't make you do it. He's given us the opportunity to be led by the Spirit. And we have a choice. Are we going to be led by the Spirit, or are we going to be led by the flesh? And let me say, this is, he leads us. He leads us. And I want to make this simple, because I know we talk about things like being led by the Spirit, and we just get some mystical idea. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I don't know what comes to your mind. You know, is like some cloud going to come down, and like a pillar of fire by day and cloud by night, and just going to lead us? Is that what it means to be led by the Spirit? I want to make this as simple as I can. And I just want to explain to you kind of how people work. Do you know what you get up and you look in the mirror in the morning and you see this body, you see this flesh? Do you understand that that is not who you are? You are, this is what C.S. Lewis said, and I agree, and this is biblical. He says, you are a spirit. You have a body, but you are a spirit. So you look in the mirror, and what you're seeing is a shell of who you are. What we have around us right here, guys, I've got little blemishes and scars on my body. My body gets sick from time to time. That's just part of life. Now, I believe and I contend for healing, and I truly do believe that we can live in a place where God would sustain us in his healing virtue. But I'm telling you, our bodies decay. And one day my body will fail should the Lord tarry. I'm believing I'm going to make it to 110 and my brain is still sharp and I'm still preaching. And if I'm not preaching, I'm writing books or something. But one day inevitably this body of flesh and bone will fail. We will die. Hopefully this isn't news to anybody. We will die, but our spirit will live on forever. Our spirit will live on forever. And so let me just explain to you. There's three parts to every human. We have this body. This is what we would call, or what the Bible would call, the flesh. This is unredeemed. There's one day, the Bible talks about at the end of 1 Corinthians, that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed. That if we're dead, we're going to be raised up a new creation. One day, we're going to receive a glorified body. But right now, as it stands, this is unredeemed flesh. And our flesh talks to us, okay? We have the second part of us is our soul. Our soul is our mind. It's our emotions and it's our will. The will of man. This is where our choice comes in. And then we have our spirit. Now, if you've not come to Christ yet, the Bible says that your spirit is dead. But when we are born again, we receive into ourselves the Spirit of God, and His Spirit joins with our spirit, we receive new life. And so what happens is our spirit is already redeemed. Our spirit is already perfect. Our spirit already looks like Jesus looks. That's why when we get to heaven one day, He's going to look, and He will see our spiritual condition, and He will say, you look like my son, you're born again, you can enter in. He won't see our flesh. That will have passed away. We'll have received a glorified body. You understand? This is the basics of salvation and how a person works. So what we have is, and this is going to help us in understanding our points. We have our flesh, which is fallen, our body. On the other side, we have our spirit, which is entirely like Jesus. It's already redeemed and it's already alive. And here in the middle, we have our soul. We have our mind, we have our thought process, we have our emotions. And what happens is we have to make a choice every day, every hour, sometimes every minute. Are we going to yield to the flesh or are we going to be led by the Spirit? This isn't as difficult. I don't want you to think when I talk about being led by the Spirit, this is some crazy, mystical concept. Well, I'm just not as seasoned as you are, Pastor Jacob, or I'm not like Pastor Lisa, or this prophet, or that apostle. I just don't know how to be led by. Listen, you hear it every day. When you're driving to work and somebody cuts you off, you hear the voice of your flesh scream out, chase them down, cuss them out, flip them off. That's your flesh. On the other side, you have your spirit that says, be patient, love them, bless them, you know, just, the, you know, whatever it is. And I've just, this is my, when something like that happens, when they're, you know, when we have traffic, I just, my instinct now, I've trained myself in this, I smile and wave. And it, yeah, maybe that's provoking somebody to anger, and that might be flesh. I don't know. But you hear this kind of stuff all the time. You know, your flesh cries out, slap the idiot. And your spirit says, no, bless them, encourage them. Right? You hearing me on this? Your flesh says, it's 11 o'clock at night, eat another Twinkie. Your spirit says, fast and pray. I don't know. But the thing is, we all have this tension that we all feel, right? Your flesh says, sleep a little longer. Your spirit says, no, let's go to early morning prayer. We feel this tension almost on a daily basis. If we really begin to look for it, we probably feel this, not even once an hour. We feel this constantly. Even right now, am I going to think about lunch or am I going to hear the word of God that's coming forth? Am I going to be distracted by the person who smells close to me, or am I going to set my eyes on? I don't know. Never mind. We're going to move on. But this is what I mean by being Spirit-led. When we choose the Spirit, that's what it means to be Spirit-led. It's not a difficult concept. It's not easy to do all the time, but it's easy to understand. Are we all on the same page here? So this is what we're going to be led by the Spirit. And so let me just give you a couple points. I think this is really going to encourage you. First of all, Spirit-led keiki, Spirit-led sons, Spirit-led children. Let me just say, well, let me read the point first. Look like the Father. Spirit-led sons or Spirit-led keiki will look like the Father. Let me just say, if you've ever been offended, ladies, by, I need to recollect my thoughts. Do you know, ladies, you have a spirit man? Did you know this? You have a spirit man. Well, no, I have a spirit woman. No, you don't. The Bible says you have a spirit man. Okay? And the Bible also calls you a son of God. And that's okay, because you know what? Men, did you know that you're the bride of Christ? And for all eternity, you're going to be the bride of Christ. And I want you to turn to a lady right now. And I want to say, your spirit man is looking good. Now, ladies, I want you to turn to a man right now. And I want you to say, you're a fine looking bride. You see, now and that's comical, but really, don't ever get upset because, you know, you don't see your whatever in the Bible. But so we're just going to talk about keiki, and we're all keiki in this instance. Spirit-led keiki will look like their father. Have you ever noticed that people who hang around each other, even over time, kind of tend to look like each other? They tend to act like, I mean, in fact, I could look around this room and I know, I could look at family units and I might not even know that you're a cousin or you're a brother or you're a nephew or that you're married, but I look at you guys and I could say, oh, I bet this is all a family right here. And it's, you know, it's freaky. I want you to look. I've got a couple pictures here. This is even true. Have you ever seen this kind of stuff? Look at this. I hope this isn't anybody that we know. Isn't this crazy? These are for real dogs and their owners. That one's my favorite right there. And so, here's the point. I need to get off of those slides because that's going to mess us up. We don't read that point yet. I should have put an extra slide in there. If you keep on looking at that, you're going to laugh. But here's the point. Spirit-led keiki will look like their father. They will look like their father. This is something that, you know, as you search the scripture, what you're going to see, and I loved what we did during the prophetic activation week, what we were encouraged to do is really look for not the junk in people's lives. Guys, that's pretty easy to see. If somebody comes in here depressed, or you know that they've experienced a loss, or you know that their marriage is in shambles, or you know their kid is a knucklehead, it's easy to look and identify that. You don't even have to be saved to do that. But it takes somebody who's walking in discernment in the heart of God to look and see the treasure in somebody's life, to see what God intends for them to be. In fact, during staff this last week, we were just talking about the process of becoming ministers and pastors and how Dr. Morocco looks at that. And the question came, well, you know, what about some of these ministries? And I felt bad for Minister Lihau. Everybody was picking on Minister Lihau over there in Hana. And, you know, well, Minister Lihau's got a small congregation and all this and that. And they're looking at this. And what Dr. Morocco said, he's like, when I make somebody a minister or a pastor, I am prophesying into them what I see them being 10 years from now. They may not be in that place right now, but I'm giving them, you know, a title essentially because of what I'm believing that God is going to move them into. And church, that right there is prophetic vision. That right there is seeing through the eyes of the Father. And this is how I would encourage. I want all of us to begin to look at one another how the Father would look at each and every one of us. Because if we would begin to see, man, you've got God's heart in this area or that. Man, you carry God's compassion, or you carry God's generosity, or you carry God's power, or whatever it might be. But could we be a people that begin to look for the treasure that exists on the inside of other people? Because what we see is who God intends for us to be. This is what prophecy does. We see what God intends for us to be. I understand. I look around this room, and you're not all that you can be, but you will be. You will be. As we walk and as we're led by the Spirit, as we go along, you're going to look more and more like your Father in heaven. Last week we talked about Moses and how he was one who is, or 2 weeks ago rather, he talked about his insecurity and, Lord, I'm not good with speech. But before you know it, God raised him up as a deliverer. The Bible even says it, that he was mighty in words and that he was mighty in deeds. God raised him up as a miracle worker. You look at Joseph, and he was one who was rejected by his own family, but God exalted him as a ruler, second in command, influencing and even leading an entire nation. Think about Paul. Highly intellectual, with pens and with writing. He inspired entire churches. I mean, he's still speaking to us today. God raised him up. I want you to think about Elijah. I mean, Elijah, man, this guy, he was rough. I mean, they said they compared him to John the Baptist in the way that he dressed. I mean, this guy was not the cream of the crop. This guy didn't look the part. The Bible talks about how he was an ugly individual and all of this, but I want you to think about how God used that man, calling down fire on the prophets of Baal, releasing the miraculous, touching a nation, ultimately leading to the downfall of a satanic ruler, Jezebel and Ahab. That all came through an unlikely man. And the reason that I share this, like, Pastor, that's great for Elijah. But look at this. There's a verse in James chapter 5. Just listen to this. Elijah was a human as we are. Yet when he prayed earnestly, no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky went red and the earth began to yield its crop. Or sky sent down rain and began to yield its crops. Church, did you hear the first part of what I just read there? Elijah was as human as we are. When you look, this is what I want to challenge you to do. When you begin to read the Bible and you begin to look at these heroes of the faith, I want you to begin to ask God the question, Lord, if you could use Elijah like that, if you could use Moses like that, if you could use a guy like Peter or somebody like Paul, if you could redeem somebody like David, could you use me? I'm telling you, church, if we would begin to be led by the Spirit of God, you're going to begin to look a lot more like these guys than what you can even imagine. You're going to begin to see miracles break out in your life. You're going to begin to see your family situations turn around. You're going to begin to see the goodness of God reflected in every single area of your life. That's His blessing. That's our inheritance. Are you with me this morning? Here's the second thing. And I've actually got it already up there. Spirit-led keiki, or spirit-led sons, whatever you want to put in there. You can put daughter if you like. Have God's greatness. We have God's greatness. I want you to look at your neighbor on one side, and I want you to say, there's greatness on the inside of you. Okay, I'll turn to your other neighbor and say, you're pretty great. Do you know... Do you know you've got greatness on the inside of you? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but some of you having somebody tell you that you're great, that makes you feel almost a little awkward on the inside. Some of us don't feel like we're great because we don't feel like our present circumstances are reflecting God's greatness. Some of you feel like, man, you know, you see the way that I'm dressed, or you don't know where I came from, or you don't know what's going on in my... And we don't feel like God's greatness is being reflected. But I'm telling you, if you are Spirit-led, you have God's greatness. I want you to listen to this verse in Colossians chapter 1. This is talking about Jesus in verse 15. Colossians chapter 1. It says, Christ Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So understand, Jesus, what they're saying is that everything that Jesus is, He is God, and we can see Him. Everything that God is in the invisible realm, Jesus is in the seen realm. Does that make sense? So we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. He existed, Jesus, he existed before anything was created. He is supreme over all creation. Through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen realm. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is the first in everything. God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. Through him, he reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Jesus is pretty incredible, isn't he? Now, I'm going to blow some of your minds. Because listen to me. What did I say? What is our point? God's greatness is in you. God's greatness. Now, we've just read this passage in Colossians about the greatness of Jesus Christ, right? But I want you to look at this, and I'll put it up on the screen for you. In chapter, this is right before the passage of what I just read in verse 11. It says, "We pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all endurance and patience that you need, that you may be filled with joy. Always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share," listen to this, "share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live by the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Did you catch this? It's getting ready to talk about all the things that I just shared about Jesus, how incredible he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is. But he says, before he even goes there, understand, because you have been brought into Jesus, you get a part in the inheritance in everything that Jesus is and was. I hope this sinks into you, because he doesn't stop there. As soon as he finishes in verse 21, this is what he says. "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his presence. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Oh, church, understand the greatness of Jesus Christ. If you would receive it, if you would believe it, if we could be a people led by his Spirit, understand God wants to express his greatness in you and through you. The fact that we were once far off. Yeah, you were a sinner. Yeah, you were far off. Yeah, at one time you were an enemy of God. But because of Jesus and his incredible mercy and grace, he has drawn us close to him. He's done away with our sin. He's dealt with it on the cross. And now he's brought us into himself. And now he wants to express his inheritance in his life, in his greatness through you. Oh, I hope that you get... Listen, that's something that you just need to take to your prayer closet right there, because I know you don't grasp it. I don't know if I grasp it all the way. But let's move on. Number three, Spirit-led Keiki have a heritage. Spirit-led Keiki have a heritage. In verse 17, it says, "We are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." This is part of being a son or daughter of the Most High God, you understand. You get an inheritance. I don't know if you've ever received in the natural an inheritance, but there's a right to being a son. It may be land, it may be money, maybe you get a business or a home, but there are things that I expect as a son simply because I'm a son. You know, my kids don't have to wonder if they're allowed to sleep in their bed at night. They don't have to wonder if they're going to eat food at night. They don't have to wonder if one day they're going to have a car, or if they're going to go to college, or if they're going to pursue their passion. Because guess what? They have a dad, they have a mom who's going to make sure that these things happen for them. I don't know how you do things in your house, but I'm going to make sure that even as I'm building wealth in this life, and I'm learning about investing and all of this, and I want to make sure I've got a retirement and all this kind of thing, and even a life insurance plan and some of this kind of stuff, because one day I'm going to die. One day I'm going to go into this next life and I want to leave something to my sons and daughters. In fact, that's what the book of Proverbs says, that a righteous man leaves it what? To even the second and third, or is it the third and fourth? They leave an inheritance. But it's several generations back. We need to think this way because God thinks this way. God thinks this way. Do you know that as a spirit-led son or daughter of the Most High God, you have an inheritance? I expect to be healed in this life. Why? It's my inheritance. Jesus paid for it. I expect. We're praying right now for a house. And I don't think that's a big request for God. It's a big request for me. I don't know how some of you guys live here. You must have, maybe you received an inheritance house or something. I don't know. But, $500,000 is just, it's crazy, especially for an 800 square foot. I don't even get it. But I'm telling you, it's not too big for God, and I know that. And what I'm praying about, what I'm really digging into is, God, I know as your son, there are things that you have. It's all yours, God. It's all yours, God. And so it's not a big and outrageous thing for me to, I mean, it's like Gabriel coming to me and saying, Dad, can I have, you know, something that's already in my house, something that I already own? Do you mind if I borrow your computer for a little while? Do you mind if I borrow, I don't know, I can't think of an example. I would say motorcycle, but he can't ride that yet. I would tell him no when you're old enough. But I'm telling you, there are things that are mine that if my children come and ask me for it, absolutely. Absolutely, I'll give it because it's within my realm. It's within my ability to give it to them. And I feel like that's how God is. Church, this is how we live this blessed life. If we would have the understanding. See, but what I feel like is, you know, that it's in 2 Timothy. It says that we do not have because we do not ask. We don't have because we don't ask. I remember, you want to know, I watched Steve Hill minister at Christ for the Nations. Historic revivalist, power of God began to break out. I mean, I remember sitting there thinking, I want to be like that guy. I want to be around that guy. And I had no idea if that was going to be possible or not. Here he is, a very well-known minister. But what I did is, I remember, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go to the church and just see if I can set up a meeting with him. And I had people telling me that's not going to be possible. Bro, you don't know how busy that guy is and all this kind of stuff. But I'll never forget, I had one person tell me, well, the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. And so I took that and I said, you know what? I'm just going to ask. The worst that he can say is no. And so I did. I scheduled the meeting. He actually didn't show up for the first meeting. I scheduled a second meeting. He didn't show up for that meeting. I think he did that on purpose. One day when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. But because it's a funny story, you read his book, The Making of a Man of God. Leonard Ravenhill did the same thing to him when he was seeking mentorship. He ditched him on his first couple meetings, but he wanted to see if he was going to pursue a father in the faith. And so anyway, he didn't show up for the first two meetings, but when I finally got there and when I was finally sitting face to face with this man, I just asked him the question, and to my surprise, he said yes. Church, I really feel like for many of us, we just, you know, well, God knows what I need. God knows that I need a job. God knows that my marriage needs help. God knows that my child needs this. God knows what I'm believing for. But if you don't ask, how are you going to expect to receive? If you don't talk about it, how are you going to expect your faith to be joined? Or how are you going to tap into this inheritance that God has for us? I just want to encourage you guys. Begin to act like a son. How does a son act? Think about how your children are to you. Mom, can I have a dollar? Mom, can I, you know, Dad, can I have this or that? You know, and, you know, you'll tell them yes or no. We need to approach God the same way. He might tell us no. It might be like the motorcycle thing. Well, no, you're not ready for that yet. But, hey, one day I'll teach you how to do that. And, yeah, we'll go have fun. But, you know, and God will tell us, wait on that for a little bit, but we got to ask, okay? Here's the last thing this morning. Are you guys still with me? Number four, spirit-led keiki, or spirit-led sons or children, have a legacy. They have a legacy. And since we are his children, this is verse 17, since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Now, I'm not going to get real negative on this, but this is exactly where the Bible takes it. And I'm not going to skip it because it's an unpleasant thought. And I think this will actually encourage some of you. You understand, Jesus has a legacy. We're part of His legacy. But understand, the only reason that we get to be a part of redemption, the only reason we get to be a part of God's glory is because He suffered for it. Is because He shed His blood for it. Everything that Jesus did, He had a legacy of suffering. You know, He suffered, but His stripes brought our healing. Right? His shame brought us honor. His poverty brought us prosperity. I could preach on any one of these points right here. His anguish brought us peace. We talk about receiving freely. So often we talk about, oh, grace is free and you can receive this gift freely. And I understand that we can. You don't need to pay for God's goodness or you don't need to earn it. But listen to me, friend. God's grace, God's goodness, it wasn't free for Him. It might be free for us to receive today, but it was not free for Jesus. It cost Jesus a lot for us to be blessed. Just about a week and a half ago, for the first time ever, we had our kids sit down and watch The Passion of the Christ. And I wanted to wait until my kids understood who Jesus was before we did that. I mean, we've done it in church events, and I've seen it a couple times since, you know, it came out in theaters years ago. But I wanted to make sure my kids would understand it before we sat them down and watched it. I needed to make sure they could read so they could get through all the subtitles and that. And we watched this. And I'm telling you, church, this was more real to me. I remember the first time. Do you remember the first time you watched The Passion? I remember the first time I watched it. I wasn't even walking with the Lord, and I was stirred. I remember there was only one time in the movie that I wept, though, openly. And it was the moment where I saw the nails laid upon His hands and driven into His flesh. For some reason, that was the only one at that time. And looking at it now, I believe because I know it's the only one that I really needed at that point in time. I needed my sins to be washed away. I needed to know that what Jesus did on the cross, He did for me. I can receive it freely, but it cost Him His life. It was amazing as we were watching it this time now. As I was watching those soldiers whip His back, and I'm hearing my daughter and I'm hearing my wife, and all of us are just sitting there in the living room just weeping as we're watching this. I'm watching this now, and I'm understanding in a way that I never have before the benefits of what Jesus had purchased. As I'm watching those stripes laid on His back, I immediately begin to think about all the miracles that I've seen over the last decade, walking with the Lord, being led by His Spirit. I remember seeing a woman come out of a wheelchair. I've seen blind eyes open. We've seen demons cast out. I've watched a young child with cerebral palsy completely healed, running around the room in a way that she never could. I watched an individual that we were ministering in South Texas. I watched her come out of a wheelchair, and before the night was done, she was running laps around. I've seen God do some crazy things, and I understand today why and how that's able to happen. I'm able to pray a prayer for somebody and see them get healed. It's free for me, but it cost Him a lot. It cost Him everything. And I want to encourage you in something, church. We have a legacy. That's part of our inheritance that we get to tap into. Healing. All the blessings that we talk about. Understand, Jesus paid a price so we could be blessed. But if we are going to be a part of His legacy, see, legacy is more than just an inheritance. Legacy means that the story is going to live on. The testimony is going to continue. One day when I die, when I'm dead and gone, I hope that my children and that my grandchildren, maybe even some spiritual sons and daughters, will carry on the work of what I've labored for. Hopefully you have people in your life who will carry on your name and your legacy, your reputation. That could be a business. That could be your family name. That could be something that you guys are good. Maybe it's a musicianship. I don't know what it is in your life. But you're hoping and you're praying that somebody will carry on your legacy. As Spirit-led sons and daughters of the Most High God, every one of us are to carry on the legacy of Jesus. And let me tell you, the same way it cost Him something, there are times where it will cost us something as well. It may be a season of sacrificial giving. It may be bearing with a burden that you don't want to carry at a time. It may be carrying somebody's emotional stresses or burdens. I don't know. You guys may be walking through somebody through cancer or through some stress in their life. You guys fill in the blank. I don't need to talk about suffering because we've all experienced it. But I want to close with this verse. If our worship could come, prepare to close. This is one of my favorite verses. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you should. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "Our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Our present troubles are small and they won't last long, but they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. I want you to think about Jesus and what He... I want you to think about Jesus and what He went through and what it means for us today, church. And then I want you to think about your life and your circumstances, where you are right now. I don't know what burden you carry. I don't know what stress you have, but church, the Word says, I want you to grab a hold of this. I know, I told my wife last night, I'm going to preach a message that I think is going to be really encouraging to the congregation today. And I know when you hear a point about suffering, you may not think this is the most encouraging thing, but here's the encouragement. Do you understand that if we'll endure whatever trial, whatever burden it is that is upon us right now, if you endure it, if you pass the test, on the other side of that trial, there's glory. There's glory. There's an eternal way. If we would allow God to work His process on the inside of us, I'm telling you, church, what God can produce in those times, you can't even begin to imagine. He says if it's eternal weight of glory. It's a glory that will last forever. Pain is short. It's temporary. Glory is eternal. Think about my mom and the hell that me and my younger brother put her through. And some of you have backslidden children or grandchildren like I was. And I remember coming in most nights, stoned out of my head, drunk out of my mind. I would come home and I would lay down in my bed. And almost every night without fail, I would hear footsteps right above me. My mom would pace the living room. Or if it was nice, she'd go outside and I would hear her swinging on the front. I can hear the creaking of that swing on the front porch. Even now as I think about it. She contended for her backslidden children. She prayed for us. I can't imagine, as I think about it now from the perspective of a father, I can't imagine my children going the direction that I did for many years. But I know my mom, she labored and she endured that testing and that trial. She prayed, she persevered, she served, she loved me and my brother. She brought correction when she had the opportunity. But I'm telling you, by that point in time, I was so far gone. All she could do was really love us and pray for us. And she did that so incredibly, church. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that contributed to me being born again, but you hear a lot of people talk about when they get saved. Oh, I had a praying mama. I had a praying mama. I had a praying mama. And I know that's why I am today. In church, I want you to think about this. If my mom could have given up, no, I'm not going to deal with this, right? I'm going to disown him. I'm writing him off. I don't want to be a part of this. And that might have been easier for her at that time. But she endured that process. And not only did I get born again, but my brother got born again. Today, my brother leads a teen challenge center. He's a youth pastor. I mean, he's serving God. He's going hard after Him. I've pastored churches. We've gone on missions. We've planted church. You know what that is, church? That is glory of eternal significance. Because my mom endured the test. Today, there are people that are going to make it into heaven. Today, getting born again. There are lives that are being transformed. She has children right now in Mississippi, in Illinois, in Texas, in Hawaii. What am I missing? There's five of us. Two in Texas. There we go. Two cities in Texas. Listen, that are being impacted because of the prayers of that saintly woman. I don't know what it is that you're walking through right now, but I'm telling you, I am a walking testimony that if you will pass the test, it's going to produce in us a glory of eternal value. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to close. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to pray and I want to strengthen. That's a word of the year from Dr. Morocco, is strength. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Jacob, I'm walking through a trial right now and I don't see the glory at the end of the tunnel. Maybe it's there, maybe you're close, but you say, Pastor, I want you to pray, and I want this family of God to stand with me in this. You might be here and you say, I feel like I'm about to give up, or I don't even know how God can make this into a glorious situation, but I want to be with you today. If you're here and you say, you know what, you're talking about me, would you just stand up right where you're at? Would you just stand up right where you're at? Yeah. Oh, I know there's more than two people going through trials in this life. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. There's no burden too big. There's not even anything too small. It's not insignificant to God. If you're going through something, you say, God, I need your strength. And I need the strength of a family around me. I want you to just stand so I know who we're praying for. Hallelujah. There's no shame in this one. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we just welcome your Holy Spirit right now. Begin to move and minister all across this congregation. Mighty God, those who are bold enough to stand and say, we need your help, Lord. I don't know how I can navigate this. I don't know how I can get through this. Lord, unless it's by your strength, unless it's by your power. But God, I thank you that, Lord, what we're walking through right now, it's temporary, but what you're going to produce in us is eternal. Oh, it's an eternal weight of glory. It's an eternal weight of glory. And you're preparing us, Lord Jesus, for so much more than we can imagine. A legacy, an inheritance. Oh, we want to look like you, Jesus. We want to be like you. Lord, we know that if your stripes could produce healing, if your agony could produce a blessing and a hope, Lord Jesus, we know that if your pain could produce our peace and our overcoming, God, we know that our situation, whatever it is right now, oh, Lord Jesus, it can produce your glory. It can produce your glory. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, this is what I want to do. We're family. We're family. If you're not standing up right now, that means you're telling me. That means you're telling me, you know what, I'm in a good place right now. I feel strong in my faith. I want you to stand up and I want you to get around some of these who are standing right now. This is part of being family, okay? This is part of being family. We're going to strengthen one another. And we're going to pray God's strength be released, guys. I'm telling you, I know some of the situations in this room right now. And some of these need a serious miracle breakthrough. But God's going to do it. God's going to do it right now. I want you to pray. And listen, if you're receiving prayer, you don't have to say a word. But if you want to, you can share what the need is. I won't put pressure on you, but if you want to share that, that's fine. But I want you to pray for these who are around you right now. I want you to lift them up, strengthen them. I want you to be like Aaron and Hur who held up the arms of Moses in the midst of their battle, in the midst of their trial. I want you to strengthen them right now. I want you to pray for them. Let's go ahead. Lord, I just do right now. I release your strength across this room. even as we lay hands on one another, as we believe for one another, God, I pray that you would release your supernatural strength, your power, your virtue, your healing in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I just declare and I prophesy over each and every one, you will not fail this test. This trial will not be your end. The pain that you feel right now, it will not kill you. It will not derail your walk with the Lord. You will pass this test. You will prevail. You will walk in the strength and the admonition of God Almighty. Oh Lord, I pray that you would touch, you would move, you would minister to our lives in a mighty and a powerful way. Lord, even right now, quicken our hearts. Let us see the glory. Let us see the light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, I pray for our backslidden sons, daughters, grandchildren, Lord, co-workers. We just contend they're getting right with you. You're drawing them unto yourself. Lord, I pray for those who are in the midst of a heartbreak of loss. Lord, I pray disappointment must not seep in, that you're going to release your strength. You're going to release your encouragement in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray, release your strength. Release your virtue. Release your hope. Release your glory. Release your anointing. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.